This morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14. So 1 Samuel chapter 14, and I'm actually going to skip ahead a little bit to verse 24 and reading just a handful of verses, but I'm going to backtrack and get the rest of the story, if you will, during the sermon. 1 Samuel chapter 14, beginning with verse 24, hear now these words. Now Saul committed a very rash act on that day. He had laid an oath on the troops, saying, "Curse be anyone who eats food before the evening, and I have been avenged my enemies." So none of the troops tasted food. All the troops came upon a honeycomb, and there was a honey on the ground. When the troops came upon the honeycomb, the honey was driven out. But they did not put their hands to their mouths, for they feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the troops with the oath. So he extended the staff that was in his hand, dipped the tip of it in the honeycomb, and put his hand in his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the soldiers said, "Your father strictly charged the troops with an oath, saying, 'Curse be anyone who eats food this day.' And so the troops are faint." Then Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. See how the eyes have brightened, because I taste a little of this honey. How much better if today the troops had eaten freely of the spoil taken from their enemies. For now the slaughter among the Philistines has not been great." My friends, to the word of God, for the people of God, thanks be to God. So for the past few Sundays, we've been walking through the book of 1 Samuel. And I had not intended this as part of any great scheme. It was that I need some scripture for Mother's Day. So for Mother's Day, I've read from 1 Samuel chapter 1 about Hannah. And Hannah, we call, was going to the tabernacle in tears because she was childless. And she was in a bad fix because her husband had another wife. And their wife was fertile Myrtle, keep having all these babies. And there was Hannah. And then the Lord answered Hannah's prayers beautifully, and she gave birth to a son. And she dedicated that son to the Lord. And her son's name was Samuel. And then the next Sunday, they talk about how Samuel, when he was a young child in the temple, he heard a voice in the night, "Samuel, Samuel." And he thought it was Eli, the high priest. And so he kept waking Eli up. And finally, Eli realized what was going on and said, "Next time you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant listens.'" And that night, the Lord spoke to Samuel. And it became very apparent that the Lord's prophetic mantle had been taken away from Eli due to his sin and rebellion and disobedience. And Samuel grew up and became the great prophet of the Lord. And then, of course, we jump ahead a little bit because of Youth Sunday, talk about David being anointed as king by Samuel. And then last Sunday, we got back on track with King Saul and what a great start he had. You may recall Saul was out, and he was just looking for some donkeys that got loose and loose livestock. Samuel finds them, anoints him king, and gives him directions, and says, "You'll get to a certain part, you'll run into some priests." And he said, "And the Spirit of the Lord will fall upon you mightily." And then it says, as Saul walked, the Lord gave him a new heart. And so Saul was this great king, and they had a great coronation ceremony for him. And some of the skeptics, however, said, "Now, how is this man going to help us out?" And then the very next chapter, talk about how this certain tribe across the river there was giving some of the Jewish people a hard time and threatened to come in, cut out their right eye. And so when King Saul gets wind of this, it said the Spirit of the Lord fell upon King Saul, and he became angry. And he sent a message to all the tribes of Israel to come to fight with him and Samuel. And so for the first time in a long time, the 12 tribes are united. They went to war, and God gave them a great victory against the Ammonites. And it was so great that the enemy scattered, and the author said, you can't find two of them together. That's how fast and furious they were running. It was every man for himself. And it was so great that some of his fans said, "Where are those guys who was criticizing you? We won't kill them. Teach them a lesson." And Saul said, "No, we're not. No one's going to be executed after the Lord has delivered us on this day." And so instead, they went up, had a great festival with Samuel and the people, and celebrated. And once again, Saul was coronated as king. And so Saul, when he starts off, was a great leader. He was humble. He trusted the Lord. He was putting his faith in him. But I'm afraid, though, in these chapters of 13, 14, and 15, we see the fall of a leader. And that's why the sermon is titled, "The Foolish Father." Because you see where Jonathan, Saul's son, is saying to him out loud, "No, my dad has made a terrible decision. And there should be a warning about us about not making rash decisions and making sure that we're doing what we need to be doing." And so in chapter 13, we have a situation where the Philistines are causing trouble. And so Saul is getting ready for a battle. And Saul is waiting for the prophet Samuel to show up to offer the sacrifice. And the day goes by. And another day. And another. And another. 5, 6, 7. I keep dropping that pen. And no Samuel. So Saul gets nervous and thinks, "Well, fine, I'll do it myself." And you know how that is, right? When you get impatient and you do something, what happens as soon as you get finished with it? The person that you're waiting for comes in, that phone call or that email, that knock on the door. No sooner has he finished committing sacrifice, here comes Samuel. And Samuel is very unhappy. And Samuel will say, "What have you done?" Saul says, "Well, you know, people were leaving and I got worried, so I forced myself to offer the burnt offerings." Verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought out a man to his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him to be ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you." Now, this sounds pretty harsh, but it kind of hints that maybe Saul, at this point in his career, has been developing somewhat of a selfish, self-centered, disobedient personality. I feel like some time has gone by, and this is going to kings down to Saul's head. No, I think time's gone by to where he's gotten married and has kids, like Jonathan there, and he's not that humble Saul we met earlier looking for the father's lost donkeys. He's become arrogant. And so the rest of the chapter talks about the Philistines, and the Philistines are the ones with the blacksmith technology. And then chapter 14 starts off with a good story about Jonathan. Now, Jonathan, I feel like he gets kind of forgotten about in the shuffle. But Jonathan had a reputation for being a great warrior. And so in chapter 14, we had this great story of one night. You got Jonathan and his armor bearer. And Jonathan turns to armor bearer and says, "I got an idea." It says, "Instead of waiting for the Philistine to come to us, let's go up to the Philistines, me and you." Now, this is kind of like a John Wayne movie. Like, "Come on, kid, follow me. You know, we're going to attack the enemy." Okay. And the armor bearer said, "Well, let's go for it." "No, that's what the Lord tells him. We'll do that." And so, verse 11. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. So they come out in the darkness, and there's the Philistines in their fort. Look out, and they see Jonathan, his armor bearer. And the Philistines said, "Look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves." And the men in the garrison held Jonathan's armor bearer and saying, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." Okay? And they're like, "Come up here, guys, we'll have a little talk." Which in their language means, "Come up here so we can cut your heads off." But listen to this. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come after me, for the Lord has given them to the hand of Israel." Okay? So the key word there is the Lord has given them to the hand of Israel. Then Jonathan climbed on his hands and feet, with his armor bearer following after him. The Philistines fell for Jonathan, his armor bearer, coming after him, and killed them. And that first slaughter, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed about 20 men within an acre area of about half a furlough long, an acre of land. And there was a panic at the camp in the field among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked and became a very great panic. So here you got two guys. It's just Jonathan and his sidekick. And they approach the fort. The guys for Yael said, "Come up here, we'll tell you something." John said, "Come on, the Lord's giving this to us." And they climb up and they kill 20 guys. And in doing so, it causes those Philistines to panic. In the Philistines' mind, they're thinking there's a great army after them, and they start running off like rabbits. And then the Lord helps out because it's about how the earthquake happened and there was a great panic. Meanwhile, verse 16, Saul lookouts in Gibeath of Benjamin were watching as the multitude was surging back and forth. And so they're like, "Hey, boss, something's going on here. No, we see a lot moving on the hill." And so Saul says, "Well, let's do a roll call and see what's going on." And when they did the roll call, they realized that Jonathan and the armor bearer were not there. So again, this is only two men fighting a battle causing this great rout. All right. And so Saul brings out the Ark of the Covenant, talks to the priest. And so they thought, well, let's go in the battle here. And so it's kind of interesting. It's not King Saul who led the battle, was it? It was his son Jonathan who actually took the initiative, okay? And then this is where we get verse 24. We're going to battle. Saul does his crazy oath. He makes his men swear that no one will eat anything for the rest of the day. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. I wouldn't do that to a bunch of students, much less a bunch of soldiers. Right? I mean, have you ever seen any war movie and such? You know, soldiers get worn out. You're carrying that arms, material, you're running, you're chasing the enemy, running away from them. And you got to have time to get in that foxhole and get you something to eat and drink real quick and move on. You need to restore your energy. And King Saul, though, in his arrogance, made his men swear they would not eat anything till the end of the day. And so we get this point in the story where they're out in the woods and they see the honeybees and the honeycomb there. And the soldier going, boy, that looks good. I wish I could have a little snack right now, get a little sugar. Well, Jonathan here, not knowing about this, he gets his spear. That's good. And then I have his eyes brighten up. And the soldier's like, "Hey, boss, your father charged us with the oath saying, 'Curse be anyone who eats his food this day.' That's why the troops were faint." And Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if today the troops have eaten free of the spoil taken from their enemies. For now the slaughter among the Philistines have not been great." So Jonathan sounds like a good general would. And he goes, "Well, that's crazy. The men are getting worn out. They're tired. This is why they're not fighting as hard as they could be. If they had eaten their food as they went along, we could have killed a lot more Philistines, you know, because of Saul's rash act of making this oath. They lost his moment to do a great deal of damage to the Philistines." Well, the story continues to where it's revealed to Saul that someone has eaten. And so they start casting dice to figure out, you know, who did it. And then it came down to Saul and Jonathan. And Saul has to think, "Well, I didn't eat anything all day." And it was Jonathan, you know. In verse 43, then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." And Jonathan told him, "I tasted a little honey with the tip of my staff that was in my hand. Here I am, I will die." And Saul said, "God do so to me, more also. you shall surely die, Jonathan. Now, hold on, Dad. Hold on a second. That was your oath. He didn't know anything about it. He didn't even take the oath. But listen to this. Then the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die, who has accomplished his great victory in Israel? Far from it. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God today. So the people ransomed Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul withdrew from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. And so Saul is about to make another rash act. Jonathan, you ate something. You got to die, boy. And the people said, hold on, king. Jonathan is the reason why we had this victory. He's the one who charged the Philistines and got them on the retreat. Not one hair of his head will be touched. You won't leave that boy alone. And so King Saul had to back down because he realized he had lost the love of the people. And then we get to chapter 15. And chapter 15, Samuel goes to Saul and says, the Lord sent me to anoint you the king over the people of Israel. Now thus therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I'll punish the Amalekites for what they did in opposing the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and there destroy all that they have. And so Samuel goes to Saul and says, Saul, the Lord is angry at this tribe. They have been constantly causing violence against the land of Israel, the people of Israel. Go through, wipe them out. You know, and when God tells you to wipe out a nation, that means that nation really is messed up. They have done some very evil things when you get that kind of wrath and judgment against God. Well, and what happens? Saul goes into battle. But what does he do? Verse 9. Saul and the people spare Agag, that's the king, and the best of the sheep, and of the cattle, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that is valuable, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. And the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not carried out my commands. Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. And Samuel was told, Saul went to Carmel, where he set up a monument for himself. Now remember how the young King Saul gave praise to God? The old King Saul is building a monument to himself. Verse 13, Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, may you be blessed by the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. So Saul sees Samuel and says, Samuel, may you be blessed. I've done everything you told me to from the Lord. One problem, though. Samuel says, what then is this bleeding of the sheep in my ears and lowing of the cattle that I hear? Hold on, Saul. You're supposed to kill everything. And yet I hear sheep and cows. You know, pets and animals get you in trouble. I was watching a true crime case one time, and they were looking at the crime scene, and they found these white hairs, and they couldn't figure out what was going on with it. And then the detective went to the house of one of the suspects. It was a boyfriend, was talking to him. And while he was talking to him, this cat came out around the corner, meow, and started rubbing on the detective's leg. And we got back to his car and realized that's white hair, and it was identical to the white hair at the crime scene. That cat helped busted a murderer. Well, King Saul got brought down by some sheep and some cows, because he told Samuel, I done everything the Lord commanded to me. But Samuel says, well, that's the case. How come I hear all this sheep and cows? And then he says, oh, well, no, we saved the best, you know, for a sacrifice. And then listen to this. Samuel said, has the Lord as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is no less a sin than the divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord, and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray, pardon my sin, and return with me, so I may worship the Lord. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned to go away, Saul took hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this very day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. Moreover, the glory of Israel will not recant or change his mind, for he is not mortal that he should change his mind. And then Samuel goes and finds the king and says, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. And Agag came to him hauling. And Agag said to himself, surely this is the bitterness of death. But Samuel said, as a sword has made women childless, so your mother shall be made childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces for the Lord of Gilgal. And so here you see two kings got some bad news. The first king was King Saul. Saul, you rejected the word of the Lord. Now the Lord has rejected you. You will no longer be king. Someone else will be king. When Samuel leaves, Saul grabs hold of him, and doing so tears Samuel's cloak. And Samuel says, just as you tore my cloak, the kingdom has been torn from you. It was judgment day for Saul. And then Samuel says, bring me Agag, king of the Amalekites. And Agag thinks, well, they're not going to kill me, right? You know. But Samuel said, Agag, just as your sword has made women childless, so your mother shall be childless. And Samuel killed King Agag, this wicked and evil king. You see, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jewish or Ammonite. When you do evil and sin against the Lord, there's consequences. And it ends with the sad saying, Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. But Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord was sorry that he made Saul king over Israel. And what a sad story that is. I think how last week the young King Saul had a heart that was changed by God, filled with his spirit, and he'd go out into battle, and God gave him a great victory. And then as he got older, he disobeyed the Lord by doing his own sacrifices. He would make these silly vows and oaths that were rash, that hurt his men. He was so rash that he almost killed his own son until their people stopped him from doing it. And then when the Lord gave him clear commands, he disobeyed, and then he turned around and lied about it, saying, I done it. After all that, Samuel has said, Saul, the Lord is through with you. You rejected his word. He has rejected you. You know, we need to be careful, guys. And here on this Father's Day, Saul was the father of Jonathan. You know, Jonathan should have been the next king of Israel, but he wasn't. And the reason he wasn't because his father was foolish and caused all kinds of trouble. And whether we like it or not, when you're the father, a grandfather, uncle, a leader, when you make foolish decisions, not only does it hurt you, it hurts those around you. Especially those that you love the most, the ones closest to you. And when King Saul was disobedient, knowing that he'd do great injury to himself, he also hurt those around him, especially his son Jonathan. So my prayer today is that we do not be like King Saul that we read about this Sunday. The disobedient, arrogant, boastful, lying, rash King Saul. We won't be like the King Saul we read last Sunday, the one who was humble, who obeyed the Lord and walked in his steps. Thanks be to God. Amen.